Add to that news from the Canadian study, the recently updated recommendations from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force that women should get an annual mammogram after the age of 40, and you've got a recipe for confusion. To sort through it, I sat down with Women and Infants Hospital Chief of Surgery and Head of the Breast Health Center, Dr. Jennifer Goss. We began by talking about that Canadian study, which Goss says had some limitations.
Because this is 25-year follow-up, the mammograms that were performed are 25-year-old technology. That sounds kind of like, of course so, but then when you really think about it, a mammogram 25 years ago in no way compares to a mammogram that was performed today.
It's that much more sensitive, the technology today?
Yes. Yeah, so the mammograms today, as most women probably know, are digital, so that was a huge jump in the quality of mammography. It's the same technique of putting the breast between plates and doing a picture of the breast, but our image quality has changed remarkably in 25 years.
So do I hear you saying that mammograms are should still be considered a very valuable tool for early screening, and we shouldn't let this Canadian study deter us from recommending regular mammograms? Is that what you're saying?
I would say that there are 6 other randomized prospective trials that support the impact of mammography on mortality. It's hard when it's the field that you work in, and so we can't help but have some bias, I think. I try to be critical in evaluating these studies. I still recommend annual mammograms at the age of 40. The reason I recommend that is that mortality, overall survival, is not the only endpoint. We talk very much about a patient's quality of life. We know that mammograms today can find smaller cancers than we can find by doing a physical exam for patients. I also can say, as a person who takes care of breast cancer patients, that when we find a smaller cancer, the type of treatment the patient will need is different than if the cancer is more widespread.
Another implication of this Canadian study was that because we're able to find cancer or what looks like cancer so early, we might be overtreating women, misdiagnosing, mm-hmm. and causing all kinds of problems, affecting quality of life for that reason. What's your response to that criticism of mammography?
Yes. So in the Canadian trial, I believe it was about 140 patients they came up with in the analysis that they thought were overtreated, that they were cancers that were identified that might not have ever impacted on the patient's survival. And that is something that we have ongoing research evaluating.
I imagine these must be difficult conversations no matter a woman's age, helping her decide how to proceed, especially if she thinks she's at higher risk. Can you kind of walk me through, let's sort of sketch out a decision tree, you know? I'm 41, for example. We can use me as an example. No history of breast cancer, thankfully, in my family. Mm-hmm. What would you recommend to me?
So no history of breast cancer, 41. So as I alluded to, I still recommend annual mammograms beginning at the age of 40. If a woman had a family history of breast cancer in her mother, for example, then we ask her what that age is. We then ask her more about her family history. If her mother had breast cancer and her grandmother had ovarian cancer, then we would be talking to that woman about looking at genetic testing to look for a BRCA type mutation.
Which is?
A BRCA mutation is a mutation that's hereditary, and it has a very high risk of breast cancer for a woman in her lifetime. It has a risk that could be as high as 70 to 80% for developing breast cancer in one's lifetime, and it also has a risk for ovarian cancer.
So let's say that you've recommended genetic testing. I decided to do it. We found that mutation.
Yeah.
Then what are my options?
So if you told me that we tested you for the gene and you had the BRCA1 gene and you're 41, I'd say the first step you should undergo is a prophylactic removal of your tubes and ovaries, provided you had completed childbearing, because the most important survival advantage to a BRCA1 carrier is her prophylactic removal of her tubes and ovaries. And then the next conversation is, how do we want to manage your breast cancer risk? Again, the BRCA1 mutation carrier is a risk for getting a breast cancer that almost requires chemotherapy. They get this triple negative breast cancer that some listeners may have heard of is kind of one of our scarier ones. And so for those women, they'll often consider a double mastectomy, because if we choose to follow them and they do get breast cancer, they know they're going to go down that journey of surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation.
There is a piece of legislation being considered right now in the General Assembly here in Rhode Island that would require doctors to notify women who've had a mammogram that their breast tissue is dense. Your thoughts?
Breast density, as measured by a mammogram, does two things. It limits the ability of the mammogram to find something, and it is a risk factor for breast cancer. We've, as best as we can understand, measured it separate from hiding cancer and shown that density is a risk factor. I see patients who come to me with a breast problem, but the doctors who are ordering most of the mammograms across the state are primary care physicians or gynecologists. So that is why I think the legislation is helpful.
Jennifer Goss with Women and Infants Hospital, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.